with summer traffic in and out, you know, there are people who are here this week who weren't here last week. There are people who were here last week that aren't here this week. There are some folks that once school let out, they took off and are having a wonderful time on vacations. I'm super excited about that. Well, I say all this, though, because for those of you who have been here week after week, we're going to do a little bit of review regarding our summer study of healthy and holistic practices by which Christian communities should, and certainly we do at Park Street, value, but sometimes ignore unless they aren't being faithfully lived out. So just as a refresher, we're going to be considering the why and the wonder and mindful practices of 1, gratitude, 2, promise keeping, which would be a covenant with others, 3, truth-telling, you know, accountability and appreciation found in relationships. And then there's hospitality, that authentic invitation and life shared around God's welcome table. We began last week with gratitude, noting with Jimmy Buffett Parrothead enthusiasm that with changes in gratitude comes changes in attitudes. Nothing remains quite the same. With all of the highlands and all of the islands, if we didn't laugh, we would all go insane. Or something like that. Basically, we're recognizing the importance as God's children to begin and continue to reboot each day, regardless of circumstances, with mindful gratitude. Prioritizing this practice will shift all other attitudes positively and constructively. Now, from our source book, Living Into Community by Christine Pohl, she writes, "The Apostle Paul understood the communal importance of gratitude when he encouraged the early Christian congregations to see that at the center of their life together was found giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." But that's not as easy as it sounds, because gratitude's dark and flip side is ingratitude, and it's sneaky. Ingratitude toward God and human beings is a terrible thing, and often comes dressed in other clothing, like restlessness or concerns about self-fulfillment or entitlement and irritation at not being properly valued or recognized. Certainly, we all have those times when we slip into grumbling. Shoot, we all have bad days. But here's the deal. Once a culture of complaint is established, Pohl says, it spreads through communities and affects everyone. You know, it's easy to develop a culture of whining and seeing only those things we don't have versus celebrating the gifts and opportunities sitting right in front of us. Ingratitude is not only annoying and unpleasant, it is dangerous. While thanksgiving should characterize God's people, Paul goes as far as saying that failure to give thanks to God is idolatry, and goes on to say in Romans 1, verses 21 through 23, that the root of human sin is our refusal to trust and honor God, which is a reflection of our failing to give God thanks. Hundreds of years later, reformer Martin Luther added his 2 cents, concluding that ingratitude to God ultimately sets us up for self-swirling misery and can lead us to a whirlpool of vices. Huh. Did you ever think that much about grumbling? You know, that wincing response like, you're afraid to smile too much or be open to too much or allowing yourself to be vulnerable. Because, well, something might not be all it's cracked up to be, right? No one likes to look like the fool, saying to oneself, I'd never fall for that. Or how about that tendency to have an undercurrent of suspicion? You know, you say things like, well, I don't know. Yeah, even mellow skepticism can be toxic. Oh, and boy, don't we have a whopper of an Old Testament tale today, which offers us a clear example of how one person's poor attitude can be toxic to an entire community. Today's story, I think, needs some setup, because you might not be that familiar with it. It deals with Hagar and her boy Ishmael. Now, most know the story of Sarah and Abraham and their son Isaac. Their story is found in the book of Genesis. Okay, let's just go over this. Abraham and Sarah were asked to pick up and go where God would lead them. You know, they were really truly people of faith. Amazing examples of trusting God. And with a grateful heart, they packed up and went. And then, inspired by gratefulness, they practice hospitality. Hey, that's one of those practices we talk about. When they cared for the 2 strangers, often referred to as angels. God, seeing their grateful and generous attitude towards the strangers, soon promises the elderly barren couple ancestors. He promises that Sarah will give birth to a son. Okay, now here's where we see that Sarah is kind of a mellow skeptic. Sarah begins to laugh when God says this to her, even though she repeatedly denies it once caught. And then soon, she begins to question God's promise when the child doesn't come as soon as she would like. Sarah becomes restless. Remember the cloaked version of ingratitude I mentioned earlier? Now, she starts focusing on what she doesn't have. Now, Paul states gratitude and ingratitude are closely tied to what we notice. And once we start focusing on flaws in a community or a situation, they quickly dominate our attention. So, anyway, Sarah decides to take matters into her own hands, and as was common practice, she ordered her slave Hagar to lay with her husband so that he would have an heir. Abraham obliged. Ishmael was born. Sarah's hope was fulfilled. The birth of an heir for her husband came through the work of her own hands, or should I say, handmaid. Yet instead of being grateful, she became jealous and began to mistreat Hagar and her son. It was so bad that out of suffering, Hagar chose to flee, but then was urged by God's Spirit to return with the promise that she would be taken care of, as well as her son. Hagar trusted God and returned. Now, things are better for a while, but by the time Ishmael was 14, Sarah finally became pregnant, and by the time Isaac was 2, that would be her son, Ishmael was 16, and then this is what happened. Here's our scripture for the day, featuring Mammy Hagar and her boy Iz. It really sounds like a Lifetime miniseries to me. It's from Genesis chapter 21, verses 8 through 21. Now the baby, Isaac, grew and was weaned. Abraham threw a big party on the day Isaac was weaned. One day Sarah saw that the son that Hagar the Egyptian had born to Abraham was poking fun at her son Isaac, and she told Abraham, "Get rid of that slave woman and her son. No child of this slave is going to share inheritance with my son Isaac." The matter gave great pain to Abraham. After all, Ishmael was his son. God spoke to Abraham and said, "Don't feel badly about the boy and your maid. Do whatever Sarah tells you. Your descendants will come through Isaac. Regarding your maid's son, be assured, I'll also develop a great nation for him. He's your son, too." Abraham got up early the next morning, got some food together and a canteen of water for Hagar, put them on her back, and sent her away with the child. And she wandered off into the desert of Beersheba. When the water was gone, she left the child under a shrub and went off 50 yards or so. And she said, "I can't watch my son die." As she sat, she broke into sobs. Meanwhile, God, hearing the boy crying, sends the angel calling to Hagar from heaven. "What's wrong, Hagar? Don't be afraid. God has heard the boy and knows the fix he's in. Up now. Go get the boy. Hold him tight. I'm going to make of him a great nation." Just then God opened her eyes. She looked. She saw a well of water. She went to it and filled her canteen and gave the boy a long, cool drink. God was on the boy's side as he grew up. He lived out in the desert and became a skilled archer. He lived in the Paran wilderness, and his mother got him a wife from Egypt. Okay, so this story features two women with differing attitudes. One with the posture of belief and gratitude as revealed by her consistent trust in God. And another who, in spite of reoccurring blessings, seems to find her blessedness lacking with an attitude of ingratitude. So think about it, who in spite of circumstances seemed to encounter life with an undercurrent of gratitude? Mother of the nation, Sarah, or mother of the half-breed, Mammy H? It's easy to fall for history's more famous mother. We really don't hear so much about Hagar's faithfulness, and I think that's a shame. She's a shining example of living with a gritted attitude of gratitude in spite of an often pitiful life situation. Now, as Mary Jo Letty, author of Radical Grace, states, having a mindset of gratitude does not mean that one does not acknowledge sadness or grief. Practices of gratitude can be distorted when we imagine that Christians are always supposed to be smiling and cheerful, even in the face of suffering, tragedy, or grave injustice. To live gratefully is not the same as denying the misery or evil around us. Gratitude involves knowing that we are held secure by a loving God and that the God we worship is trustworthy, despite the nearly unbearable sorrow we might encounter along the way. A capacity to be thankful in the midst of hard times requires acknowledging that we do not know the whole story, that we're living before it is complete, and that we are thankful for the presence of God and faithful persons in our lives. Gratitude, then, Mary Jo continues, is a crucial way in which death and destruction, even the wicked nature of the Sarahs in our lives, do not have the final word and cannot finally define us. A posture of grace in the midst of trouble does not mean we are feeling grateful for the inconvenience, but it does say that we trust God in all of the circumstances of our lives. In all circumstances, with gratitude as our foundation. All other attitudes in its wake will fall sweetly into place, which is why the practice of gratitude in a faith community is essential. Such a community filled with those being mindfully grateful will be a community in which God is revealed through the loving discipleship, faithful care of other, and an authentic welcome table prepared for all who wish to gather around it and together give thanks. Be the matriarch or servant, male or female, Greek or Jew, red, pink, purple, orange, and blue, from all over the highlands and all of the islands with grateful hearts. We're all loved the same.